broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, happy to have you along. I'm Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby with me. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for, what is it already? It's already January the 7th in the year of our Lord, 2019. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, incredible hour with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, by the way. And just riveting stuff. We talked about caller Kevin bringing up valuable ideas and suggestions to support and promote the alternative media, doing a phenomenal job. Thank you, Kevin. Utah joins a more perfect union 123 years ago. That's a date I would not have been cognizant of. Thank you so much, Lowell. Friday evening with state legislators. Incredible evening. They had that. We talked about how to disconnect Utah from the U.S. Department of Education. Larry Mulcock is the guy's name, just doing a great job. Now, this hour, we were supposed to have Scott Bradley. Can't get a hold of him. And then, of course, Kurt's on the road with troubles, so I'm trying to dial the phone and get everybody on the line at the same time while trying to be on the air and talking at the same time. So it's rather difficult to do all that I'm doing. So I got my right hand dialing the phone. My left hand's holding the phone, getting a hold of Kurt. You there, Kurt? All right, I'll put you up. Hold on. All right, so I'm putting Kurt up while I'm talking on the radio, and I got the show notes in front of me. I got two sets of headphones on so that I can listen to my computer while I talk to Kurt, while I go ahead and run the board, while I go ahead and try to call Scott Bradley, who's simply missing in action. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's just like a road of hope, and there you go. So, hi, Kurt. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right. There's a lot to cover in a very short amount of time. And I want to talk about a bunch of different topics here. Let's just start out here. I guess when asked if she supported the Black Lives Matter group movement, if you will, Nancy Pelosi, Kurt, said all lives matter. Do you want to respond to that?
Good question. I heard you say Nancy Pelosi did something, but I didn't hear the last part. I don't know for sure what to say. Nancy's at least...
Well, hold on. You got to hear what she said before you even comment, because otherwise your comments won't make any sense. When asked if she supported Black Lives Matter, Nancy Pelosi said all lives matter.
Wow. Fantastic. Good work.
I agree. And this is an example where the liberals and conservatives might not get along and might not give each other credence. In other words, the conservatives would say, yeah, but she doesn't really believe that. Everything she's done is to the contrary. I get it. I understand. But are we going to be negative and highlight all that? Or are we just going to say she's right for once? Good for her. And maybe if we support the truth and say she's right, maybe we'll get more right from her.
Yeah.
Imagine. I mean, maybe she'll actually say another thing that's correct, and maybe she can come along and learn. And, you know, I doubt any time she's going to be a constitutionalist, but hey, we got to admit when she's right that she's right. And that's one thing that I'm afraid that other groups just aren't willing to do, Kurt, that I think is critical that we highlight this. She's right. All lives matter. And the other thing that I find fascinating is when I say all lives matter, then they kind of mock me as a racist and say that I kind of undermine the point of the blacks, and they do all. When Nancy says that, it's fine.
Huh. I didn't even know she did. I didn't even see the story.
Well, that's because they don't want you to know that.
They didn't cover it much, huh?
No, they don't want you to know that. I mean, just imagine if Sam and Nancy agree. Why would they ever want you to believe that?
Yeah, good point.
That might actually have us agree on a second item and a third item, and we might actually work together and get something productive done, huh?
Great thinking.
See, they just can't stand that, you know?
Yep.
Anyway, I bring it up because I think it's a critical deal. And I also wanted to highlight this story really quick, too, Kurt. Headline says Utah liquor stores made $11.6 million in sales in the 5 days leading up to New Year's Day. The Utah Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control reported that $3 million in sales happened the very day of New Year's Eve alone. That was 322,199 bottles of, I don't know, liquor on the wall. The sales figures include the state's 44 liquor and wine stores, but does not include the local alcohol beer sales that are in grocery stores, etc. They say this year's alcohol sales increased about 9% from last year, and they go on and on and on. But the bottom line is that, look, Utah liquor stores made $11.6 million in sales in the 5 days leading up to New Year's Day. And I find that fascinating because that story didn't get covered at all. But the story that got all the headlines is, you know, Utah's got the, I don't know what you call it, the strictest do not drink and drive law on the books of all the states, which means they reduced from, I think it's 0.08 to 0.05, the alcohol limit you can have in your blood or your blood alcohol limit. And so that was highlighted a lot, but this wasn't discussed at all. And I think 11.6 million in 5 days leading up to New Year's Eve, the government took part in the sale of all that alcohol and got a bunch of tax revenue from it, Kurt.
Well, it's a great point, Sam, and I think it illustrates this the silliness of this whole idea that they say, oh, you know, in Utah you can't get a drink, you know. It's like we're anti-freedom, you know, we don't allow that. And yet the real point ought to be that, number one, the government's selling the alcohol, and they're, you know, making big money on the taxes and sale of it. And we ought to be pointing out that almost every time I see some terrible, tragic story of maiming and havoc and everything else, if it's not got drugs, it's got alcohol connected to it.
And, yes, you're right about that, sir.
It ought to be brought up. And then those, you know, the purveyors of the evil, kind of like when they want to go after the gun companies because there was a gun involved in it, you sure don't see them going after the purveyors of the alcohol like the states that sell it, you know, do you?
No, you don't. And that's what I find interesting is we're going to talk about Utah having the strongest, you know, don't drink, don't drive laws on the books based on the blood alcohol content and everything. But then, you know what? The government literally sold all this alcohol, $11.6 million in alcohol. It's up 9% from the year before. Nobody really talks about that at all. And I just kind of go, what's going on? Why should the government be the one selling all the alcohol? And you could say, well, Sam, if you understood the history of alcohol in Utah, you'd understand the goal was to reduce alcohol abuse and use and sale and promotion in Utah. And okay, I understand. But is that really true? Does having the government be the seller of the alcohol and driving tax revenue from it, does that solve the problem? And then you kind of go back and say they've changed other laws in Utah, making alcohol much more out in the open. And so it almost seems like a farce, Kurt. Make sure you don't drive, but we're going to sell a ton more alcohol. The government's going to legitimize the sales with the government stores and the government taxes, and we're going to reduce the laws that actually made alcohol less and less desirable or less and less acceptable in open society. And we're going to change all that, and then we're going to make sure you don't drink and drive, Kurt. But we're a free state. We back alcohol. We support and the government just a willing participant in it all. It seems like a disconnect in my humble opinion.
Well, we'll almost do anything, it seems like, our government's will for an extra buck, huh, Sam?
Sad to say. But the good part is the truth shall set you free, and we will highlight it and highlight the, I don't know if I should even say the irony of the situation. But certainly highlight the disconnect and certainly say, look, I don't want government involved in selling alcohol at all. And you would say, well, Sam, what about, you know, other places where you got grocery stores full of hard liquor and stuff? I'm not saying I like that either. But the last thing I want is government to have an incentive into opening places on Sunday, selling alcohol. And I don't want the government to be a partner in it. The idea is that if the government's a partner, the government can make sure that it's restricted and controlled, and I don't see that. I don't see Utah being the bastion of liberty when it comes to alcohol. Do you, Kurt?
Nope.
$11.6 billion in a five-day period. Hey, how much tax revenue did the government get on that? You think there's a 10% tax on alcohol? I'm sorry, it's million, not billion. I'm sorry. But, you know, so the government gets, what, $1 million on it, Kurt, about? Or depending on what the, I don't know what the tax on liquor is in Utah. I'd have to look that up.
Well, and besides that, though, Sam, I mean, they're actually selling it. So, you know, I mean, so do you think they don't have a big margin in there for sales? And then, you know, all the havoc that's created by it. For example, the courts that have to deal with any drunk drivers, you know, and all the, you know, attorneys and judges that are paid and the people that have to, you know, bear the brunt of those costs. I mean, it's just massive.
Yeah, and your point's well taken that, hey, forget about even just the taxes. How much do they get for margins on the sales? They don't sell it at cost, I'm sure. How much do they make for the government alcohol business? And then what about the judges? When someone gets, you know, too problematic from alcohol, they want to hold gun dealers or these kind of groups accountable. Are they willing to be soft on the government or ignore that side of the discussion? It's very interesting, to say the least. Utah taxes, beer, wine, liquor, wow. All right, let's take a quick pause. We'll come right back. Got a whole lot of news that I refuse to use on your radio, baby.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense, as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, it turns out that the state of Utah has some of the highest state taxes on alcohol in the United States. When it comes to liquor sales, you got to understand governments of all 50 states and the federal government all have excise taxes. So not only do you got the sales taxes, you got the excise taxes on it as well, Kurt. And sometimes you got governments making a margin for the sales plus the sales tax plus the excise tax. In Utah's case, I guess they say since it's sold from government-controlled liquor stores, then they don't really have an excise increase tax statewide on it because their margins make up the difference, which means you don't really know how much the tax is. You just know that it's government literally competing with the private sector. And I guess if we're going to sell a bottle of whiskey, I'd almost rather have a private guy make money than I would the government make money. That's the point. And I also wouldn't want government to be aligned with the promotion of alcohol. I'd rather have the government on the side of saying, look, we know that the ills from alcohol are a problem. And you know what? Joe might sell alcohol, but you know what? The government's going to do their best to not be in on the take, if you will. That's kind of the discussion point. It's a sad tale to tell in Utah. Any other comment on that, Kurt?
I don't know what else to add on that except, you know, I mean, here's what we'd recommend.
Yeah, you got to get on your handset, Kurt. You're hard to hear now.
Here's what we'd recommend.
There you go. Thank you, sir.
A whole lot less government involvement in things that it shouldn't be in, and selling alcohol would be one of them.
Amen to that. All right, let's move to the homosexuality discussion. Kurt has two stories on this. First one, headline says, homosexuality is to blame for sexual abuse, not Catholic Church, claims German cardinal. Kurt?
Well, this guy's going to really take some heat.
I think that he's right, though, Kurt.
Oh, I know. But, you know, it's like the kid that would say that the emperor wasn't wearing any clothes, you know, when everybody's the standard line is supposed to be that, you know, homosexuality and all that, it's all just about, you know, some kind of a new, better way, you know. And, man, it's far from that. And hats off to the gentleman that spoke up and speaks up about it.
Yeah, because the Catholic Church isn't for homosexuality at all. And you could say, well, the Catholic Church covered it up. And my response is, you know what? I don't believe that's true either. I think rogue agents covered it up, or rogue people. But it's this homosexuality acceptance among people and their willingness to embrace it and sin that's the problem. You can't blame it on the church.
Great point.
It was individuals that did this, and the individuals are wrong for doing it.
It's part of the, you know, taking down of religion and those kind of things by the standard.
Well, and that's why they want you to believe it's the whole Catholic Church, because then what you do is you just turn your back on religion altogether, right?
That's right. That's
and it's exactly. A shame, and it needs to be stopped, and that's the reason we highlight this, and I think this German cardinal is absolutely spot on.
Yep, great point.
Anyway, it's a good news story, not that it's even existing for discussion, but at least somebody's pointing out the truth, and we got to echo that truth and tell the tale. Individuals need to repent, and if they do, hey, the church will be in great shape, I'm telling you right now.
Amen to that.
All right. A lesbian Batwoman, is that what this is, Kurt? It's just weird stuff going on here. But
I mean, you remember when you're a kid, Sam, and you hear about, you know, Batman and Robin, and I mean, you know, it's just a whole different world these days. Lesbian Batwoman, you know. I mean, I guess it's one more time when I got to say, well, there's one more reason I don't watch and support the new kind of, you know, media. When I say the new, I mean the kind that's filled with lesbian Batwoman and, you know, et cetera, you know. Homosexuality and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah, and what I don't understand is, you know, I don't know if the person that's the actress is the homosexual or the, but why does this have to be mixed? Okay, so you take Batwoman or Batman or, you know, whatever, the Bionic Man, the Bionic Woman, whatever. Why do these superhero characters have to take on these attributes that are political and moral at hand? They use it to push an agenda, Kurt, is the point.
Yep. That's exactly right. They're pushing that idea to kids, everybody in society that, hey, you know, I mean, you got to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the God of heaven made man and woman, just like it says in Scripture, and he did it for a purpose, and that was to, perpetuate the family, and then they're supposed to multiply and replenish the earth. And when you can go against that, with Satan's plan and basically try to turn that thing clear over upside down. I mean, it's a great win for the bad guys, you know?
Yeah, and we in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints believe that God wants to perpetuate the family beyond the grave as well. So,
that's right.
You know, that's even a more critical I don't know what you call it, eternal view rather than a world historic view per se. But nevertheless, you know, marriage between a man and a woman is critical. Understanding gender is critical. And I believe all this indoctrination coming out of the, I don't know what you want to call it, entertainment centers is highlighting their political agenda. Mm-hmm. Tragic, but true. All right. Parkland Investigatory Commission in the news, Kurt. I guess they issued a report calling for armed teachers, sir.
Yeah. I mean, imagine they came up with the idea that says that if there's some bad guys shooting and good guys have guns, maybe we'll be a little safer around here.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Now, I mean, it's nice to see him come up with some genius idea like this. I wonder how much time the study and the report took. But like you always say, you could have saved them a whole bunch of money on that study.
Yeah, and when we talk about armed teachers, I don't know what that means. I just think we got to have armed Americans. And the only reason I bring that up is I don't want somebody to have a teacher status and then they get their special kind of eked out privilege. And then somebody else is like, well, you're not a teacher. You're a teacher's aide. And then it's like, oh, you can't, you know, you're not. And wait a minute. I just want, you know what? I want constitutional carry. I want Americans to be able to use their rape me nots and their rob me nots. And I want Americans to be able to use the God-given inalienable right of self-defense as they see fit. And I want people to not have any idea where a gun might be present from a good guy. Because that's the best deterrent we can get, sir. And I want to stop criminals everywhere. So anyway, at least they're coming to their senses to some degree and acknowledging the fundamental reality, right? That good guys with guns is a great idea.
Good point.
All right. Are you ready for 2020, Kurt? Because Joe Biden certainly is. I guess Joe Biden seeks to drop the former or the title of former vice president. He wants to, you know, that being vice isn't good enough, sir.
He doesn't like it when people call him the something, you know, like we call Sheriff Mack, former Sheriff Mack, you know, and he never gets mad at us about that. But I guess Joe Biden was showing up at the University of Utah where they were going to pay him 100 G's to speak, you know, and he wanted to make sure and tell him that he wasn't supposed to be introduced as former vice president.
So what Kurt's referring to is there's a big whole article and the University of Utah basically wanted Joe Biden to come speak there. And Joe had this massive, I don't know what you call it, this massive list of, if I'm going to come, then you got to do this and you got to do that and you can't do this and you can't do that. Whole litany of, I don't know, do's and don'ts. Is that how it is, Kurt?
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, we've seen this same thing with Hillary in the past. You know, they get massive amounts of money. Government money from through these institutions that shouldn't be, you know, spending that money that way, in my opinion. And then they require all these stipulations, you know, you got to pick us up in a limo or fly us or, you know, do all these things. And most of us in the constitutional world are just happy to get an invite, you know, pay our own way and all that kind of stuff. But it just shows you one more way that these insider socialist, government guys rape the American people of their money.
Amen. And what's sad about this one, Kurt, it really is that the University of Utah really caving to a lot of the demands and literally taking people's tax dollars to fund this speech. Look, I'll go speech at the U of U for free, Kurt. I'll go ahead and speak up there for nothing, and I'll even get there on my own dime and stuff like that, and we could talk about the supreme law of the land, the rule of law in America. We could talk about the checks and balances. We could talk about the brilliance of our founding fathers. We can talk about the proper role of limited constitutional government based on delegated authority, based on the separation of powers, based on dual sovereignty, based on the proper role of limited delegated government. I mean, we can really double down and help those University of Utah students with education. Absolutely free, sir.
The other thing I'd like...
Hey, Kurt, you think they're going to take me up on it?
No.
Okay, the other thing you'd like. Hold on, right after the break, we'll give you plenty of time. Stay there. Hold on to it.
All right.
Sam and Kurt in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt's on the road. Sam's in studio, and this is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
All right, back with you live. I'm Sam, he's Kurt, and you're you. Thanks for being alongside with the ride. So, Kurt, we're talking about ready for 2020, Biden out of control, having all kinds of crazy demands, including dropping the title vice president as he wants to move towards president. You had another comment on this?
Well, yeah, bottom line is, there's so many ways our government could save money. This is just another example of it. Not paying, to have Joe Biden there. Paying $100,000. If there were 100 guys that showed up for that, I'd be surprised. That's $1,000 a pop. It's just insane. Why not have those people pay themselves, that want to hear Joe Biden, instead of forcing people with their hard earned tax monies to support that kind of stuff?
Well, there you go. All right, this is an interesting headline. You'll like this one, Kurt. I'm kind of happy about the government shutdown just because I want to leave the unconstitutional portions of government shut down forever. And what I'd like to do is restart the discussions from a constitutional perspective. And I would like to literally line item at a time pass the proper rule of limited constitutional government, leave the rest closed forever. But, of course, no one's talking about that but me, really. Anyway, I bring that all up, though, Kurt. Headline says this, as talks stall, Los Angeles braces for teachers strike. The second largest government school district or whatever you want to call it is basically going to be shutting down if they don't get the talks restarted ASAP. And I just say leave that sucker closed, Kurt.
Yeah, but those kids have a lot more family time, and there wouldn't be those big buses out on the roads to, you know, spew all that pollution. Those kids could be home. There wouldn't be any bullying going on. You know, I mean, there's just so many blessings to having that thing shut down. They could go ahead and...
You wouldn't even have any drugs in the schools. They'd all be drug-free.
That's right. No crime at school because, hey, no schools are going on.
And you would say, Sam, that's the ideal. That's not real. How are parents going to deal with all that? And my response is, hey, parents dealt with it in early America before the government schools existed. I'll tell you that right now. How did they do it? They had siblings watch siblings. They had parents working at home at their own businesses, not for the man, if you will. They had low taxes. They had the proper role of government. They had situations where, you know, children at a very young age would be involved in an internship and figure out what they want to do early in life. And, you know, by 14, 15, 16, 17, people were productive citizens participating in solutions. And there's all kinds of opportunities and options, ladies and gentlemen. There just are. So there you have it. All right, Larry Klayman's in the news, Kurt. He's with Freedom Watch, as you know. And he has a headline that says this: Harry Reid is the most corrupt and dishonest senator in modern history, even surpassing Chuck Schumer. Do you want to respond to that?
You know, that's got to be one of the toughest competitions ever. You know, the most corrupt politician. I mean, with so many people in the running, I mean, you know, I mean, think about it. Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton. I mean, it's just got to be one of the toughest places to rise to the top, or maybe drop to the bottom, if you will. Huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I don't know who's the worst. I mean, I don't know how to say who's the most corrupt or the most dishonest, because I don't even know how corrupt or how dishonest they really are. I mean, I don't know how to argue that. But I will say that, you know what, Larry Klayman is right when he says that Harry Reid is just a disaster. I mean, look, he attacked Richard Mack and act like Richard Mack was a terrorist. And I mean, the guy is just off the rails, on the take.
Yeah.
Just an absolute disgrace. Because he does not follow the supreme law of the land. He doesn't believe in due process of law. Okay, you don't make allegations like that as a senator against a citizen. You just don't do those kind of things. And so I just have zero respect for Harry Reid because of those things, Kurt.
I think one of the reasons Larry Klayman's probably bringing it up, he's being a whole lot more informed about the whole Clive and Bundy thing, which has, you know, big time connections to Harry Reid.
You're right about that. And that's why it was over that very issue that Harry Reid literally doubled down against former Sheriff Richard Mack and attacked him as a terrorist. Look, even when Ammon Bundy and those guys took over the refuge, Sam and Kurt and Richard Mack were there at the early peaceful rally. Then we left. They put my picture on a media story promoting the takeover of the refuge, which was an absolute complete lie by the mainstream press. Me and Richard Mack wrote a press release saying we did not support that takeover effort. We did support the peaceful rally.
I told you to wear a hat, huh?
Well, the cover on my face doesn't change the dishonesty.
If you'd had a big cover over your head like me, I was wearing such a big old hat, I couldn't even tell. But it was cold, man. It was like, what, 4 degrees?
Yeah, it was freezing cold. But I'm just saying, I stood out as one of the leaders of the rally, and I'm proud to have been at that rally. What I don't like is the dishonesty of the press putting my face over the other story, which was taking over the refuge, which I denounced in writing.
Well, it's such a surprise to have the media not tell the story truthfully.
I know it. And Kurt thinks he's better off because he covered his face.
No, at least I was warm, I can tell you that.
There you go.
Warmer, I should say.
Yeah.
Not warm. I mean...
All right, Harry Klayman also writes, as predicted, two-faced loser Mitt Romney will run for president against Trump in 2020. What do you think of that? Think that'll happen?
Now, you said Harry Klayman, I think.
No, Larry,
Harry
L.
Klayman. Yeah,
you're just on a phone, sir.
Sure. Yeah, I just wanted to make
it's
sure.
It's Harry Reid and Larry Klayman.
Yeah.
Harry's got an H, Larry's got an L.
Wanted to highlight that.
Yes, sir.
Do I think Mitt Romney will run? You know, he has... I heard one guy explain it the other day. You know, we've heard the phrase rhino, you know, Republican in name only. In Mitt's case, it's more mino. That's Mitt in name only, you know. In other words, he wants to be all there is, you know, and show that he's the leader of everything for us.
Yeah, and I don't know if he'll run or not. It all depends on how the way the wind blows. If he thinks he can get away with it appropriately, he will. If he thinks it's more politically savvy to make up with Donald, he'll do it. I'm not sure what he'll do, but I know this. Whatever he'll do, it'll be for his own gain, not for the good of the Republic and the honesty. And I'll give you an example to prove the point. Why is Mitt Romney literally writing an op-ed in one of the most liberal rags in the country, attacking the president of the United States? Now, I know Donald's not perfect, and I know some of his rhetoric is a problem. I get it, and I agree. But I also say he's done more for the Constitution than any president in modern history, number one. And number two, why not attack the Ocasio-Cortez people that are literally promoting communism and socialism within the office of government? Why doesn't he attack those people and talk about principle and issue? And why is he attacking, I'm not going to say Donald's perfect, but in my opinion, compared to Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters and Ocasio-Cortez and some of the Joe Biden and you know, all these people, I don't see why you would leave that off the table, but attack President Trump. It doesn't make any sense, Kurt.
Well, at least imagine if he had done that, Sam, attacked those others, Ocasio-Cortez or the one new congresswoman that called the president MF, you know, or whatever, you know, stuff like that. If he had done that, you know, the Washington Post wouldn't give him any coverage.
Yeah, but they could come on Liberty Roundtable Live and talk about the truth, and they could basically have a clarion call for civility and talk about principles and issues and why we don't agree with
right.
Or Cortez or Maxine Waters or these people is based on this fundamental understanding of the supreme law of the land and the separation of powers and the proper role of limited government and the horizontal and vertical view that we got to have checks and balances in the system, and there's dual sovereigns, the states and the federal government, and you know, we could really talk about these issues with Mitt. We could help him either understand if he doesn't get it, or we could double down and help him tell the tale if he gets it, Kurt. Either way, we're game, and we're right. But see, none of that's happening, and that's the reason that I'm really frustrated with Mitt Romney, because again, why attack President Trump? He's one of the most pro-life presidents we've had in modern history. Okay,
yeah.
He's literally brought up some of these trade issues that need to be negotiated. Now, is he doing it perfectly? No, he's not. But at least he's got the guts to bring it on the table. He's talking about national security at the border. Now, are some of his rhetoric kind of offbeat? Yeah, he you know, falls for that quite often. But at the same time, he's done more for these principles than anybody. He's actually done more for bringing land under the control of Utahns in Utah than anybody else. Has he done perfect? No. Has he done enough? Not even close. Do we want more? Without a doubt. But if we want those things, the best thing we can do is support them, Kurt.
And I thought the response from the president was pretty good. He said, hey, Mitt, it would be good to be a team player. I mean, you know, that's just some pretty good stuff, you know, from the president. He didn't lower himself. Now, he did say something about Mitt being a loser, and he did lose last time, but the bottom line is both of them ought to work together and help each other out.
All right, let's talk about the New York Caucus of Black Lawmakers, ladies and gentlemen. They're in the news too. We got to tell you about what they're doing. Did you know there's a Caucus of Black Lawmakers in the New York State Legislative Body? What if you had a Caucus of White Lawmakers in there? That'd get crazy, wouldn't it? All right, I think we ought to all be Americans. What about that crazy idea, huh? Anyway, we'll tell you what these black lawmakers are doing in seconds.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It ain't gonna happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, even the liberal media once in a while becomes incensed and levels with you on the truth. There's a New York Post investigation into the New York lawmakers. They call it the Black Caucus of New York Lawmakers, ladies and gentlemen. And I guess they have a charity. So the Black Caucus, New York lawmakers, have this charity. And they give scholarships to needy youth, Kurt. You want to know what the problem is?
Yeah.
They haven't been giving any scholarships over the last 2 years. So the whole thing is you got this Black Caucus in the New York legislature, and they've created this charity in which they claim that they, you know, give needy youth scholarships, and they tout that and raise money and promote it. But the problem is they haven't been giving out any scholarships, and even the New York Post is incensed, Kurt.
Imagine that, Sam.
Now, I got several problems with this story,
though. With that money, huh?
I got several problems with the story. Number one, I don't believe that government should be charities. If you want to do your charitable organization, then do it yourself or make a private organization to do it or whatever. Don't do it in government. I don't know what a Black Caucus means. It's a racial caucus there, which I reject. I think we all as Americans ought to stand for private sector charitable scholarships for needy youth. I think it's a great idea. I like it. I just don't like the way they're going about it. And I certainly don't like when they collect money on that idea. And then the truth is, when you dig it into an investigative report on it, you find out they're not even doing what they promised to do with the money in the first place. Who's going to jail for their dishonesty?
Oh,
I mean, it's a shame to say the least.
Just an oversight, I'm sure, though.
All right, then if it's an oversight, bust out the scholarships yesterday and go on national TV and tell me how much money you're spending.
Yeah, good point.
All right, what's this, Shalik High School?
Shalik
High School. I don't know where it's at, but they got a wrestling program there. And I guess they had to cancel their wrestling season following a hazing incident, writes Bill Evans. Kurt?
Well, it's kind of interesting, Sam. Where in the world do we call something that's abuse and, you know, in the whole Me Too movement world and all that other, you know, the Catholic church where they get all beat up for any of this abuse, and yet if you do it in government school and you do it, whether it's wrestling or some other, you know, program, and it's called hazing. I mean,
yeah, it's kind of like how the unions get a pass to beat everybody up if they cross the picket line. They get special government privilege for violence. It's kind of like that in the government schools. They get special privilege for any kind of ne'er-do-well activity that goes on, or any kind of dishonesty or immoral or illegal or criminal activity that happens. It's just like, hey, you know, to be sexual abuse and Me Too, but in this case, it's just like, oh my gosh, they were just playing. It was just hazing, buddy. You know?
I'll tell you what. Some
it's
of
crazy.
The, all I can say is some of the worst stuff that'll ever go on, and yet it's, you know, viewed as some kind of a, you know, okay, because it's some initiation into, you know, I guess, you know, your team or something. But, man, I'll tell you what, there's amazing stuff, and at least hats off to that government school because they said, hey, we're not even having our wrestling season.
Yeah, and we're not hats off to the government school as much as we are hats off to the people there that understand at least right from wrong to some degree, and we commend them for choosing the right.
Yep, amen to that.
All right. Anyway, it's a sad deal, too, that it had to be canceled, though. Why do we have that corruption and immorality in the first place, right?
That's right. I'll bet you winning at least none of those students had to be reading the Ten Commandments up on the wall every day, you know.
Heck no, that might actually have people that decide to kind of maybe think to follow them and stuff like that.
Ooh, yeah, imagine that.
By the way, the initiation into the Church of Jesus Christ, just so you know, is called baptism, and there's no hazing involved or anything.
Oh, yeah.
Just thought I'd bring that up. Hey, Sweden is not socialist, writes John Stossel. He's got an incredible educational column there, Kurt.
Well, yeah, and you've heard this before, haven't you?
Since, oh, yeah.
You know, those,
hey, Sweden's those, doing awesome. They're socialist. We ought to follow suit, goes the lie, right?
Yeah, we've heard it before, and I think he educates us. And to me, the bottom line that he says is, hey, it's not like Venezuela. The people that own things are the ones that own them. You know, there's too much government involvement. I will agree there, but it's not the same as, you know, they got one on in Venezuela and the standard socialist wants to promote.
Yeah, the best comparison I can use to double down on Stossel's point, and he's right as could be, by the way, is this. We call America a democracy. That's like calling Sweden a socialist utopia. Okay, neither are true. We are not a democracy or a republic. It's completely different in the undergirds. Same thing with this idea that Sweden is socialist. They're not socialist. They have a lot of different fundamental changes from socialism. Granted, there's too much government everywhere, but that's beside the point. The point is, hey, you got socialism going on in Venezuela, and it's melting down. You've got too much government in Sweden for sure, and they got some socialist tenets and principles, just like we do here in America. But it is the principles that are behind the scenes, or you don't understand, or aren't talked about, that make Sweden successful. And it certainly isn't the too much government portion. They'd be a whole lot more successful without that. But nevertheless, it isn't socialist principles that make Sweden great either. We got to talk about it. It's like America's far from perfect. We got too much socialism too. But it isn't the socialism that makes America great. It's the principles that make a republic, or the constitutional principles. Well, they have like-minded, similar traits in Sweden as well that aren't even discussed, Kurt. If they were, it'd be a whole different story. And John Stossel's article literally doubles down and fleshes that out very well.
That's exactly right, and that was the main reason I was pleased to see it and wanted to forward it to you, Sam. But it's excellent.
Yeah, tell me about the social worker that duct taped his shoes, Kurt. This guy's an intentionally private social worker now.
Well, he's now passed on.
This guy's awesome, by the way.
You know, he's
maybe. By the way, maybe we can get some copycats on this dude, huh, Kurt?
Well, yeah. I mean, here's a guy who lived very frugally. You know. He did all this stuff, and now he's basically, as Rush would say, assumed room temperature. You know, he's died and gone on to his reward, and I emphasize that. I mean, he's basically left $11 million in a trust, and helped a whole bunch of children, a whole bunch of people with doing some good. And how did he do it? Well, he just, you know, he lived frugally.
He would duct tape his shoes. He would not spend money, but he would save every penny that he got. And the reason that they say the very private social worker is because he's a social worker by day, great guy doing a great job, spend his life serving children and other things. And then he would, behind the scenes, save as much money as he could. When he died, no one even thought he'd have that kind of money, but he had $11 million that he then doubled down. And he left a surprise $11 million to children. Now, I contrast that with the Black New York lawmakers charitable organization that promised scholarships to kids but haven't given any out in the last 2 years. Look, you can do more in the private sector.
Good point.
By far, single-handedly, than these people will ever do in government, Kurt. And these two stories back-to-back highlight that truth, too.
Yes, you're exactly right. Good work, Sam.
Anyway, we commend this guy in life and in death.
Yeah.
And we're sad to lose a guy like that. We need people like that on the planet, Kurt.
And like you said, we hope there's some copycats. Like that, because it's a great way to live, ladies and gentlemen. Using the things you've been given carefully, and then thinking of others and trying to make their lives better. I know it doesn't make sense in the world we live in, but it makes your life better, and it is a better way to live, and those are godly principles, Sam.
The EPA, I don't know that I can say they're doing a good thing, but the EPA targets Obama crackdown on mercury from coal plants. It's hard for me to say the EPA is doing some good, Kurt, but you know what? The truth is, it's some of the best things I've ever seen out of the EPA. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, yeah, and as you kind of intoned in your introduction there, we would basically just eliminate the EPA, but at least in this case, the Trump administration, President Trump, and those, you know, few working with him, are at least cutting back on regulations that might have, should never have been there. You know,
amen. And it reminds me of how Ezra Taft Benson, he was Secretary of Agriculture under the Eisenhower administration. He wasn't really for the agriculture department in the first place. And so he tried to do his best to get rid of it. He couldn't, but he did try to downsize it and did try to make sure that it was at least operating responsibly and morally and uprightly and honestly and things like that. And I kind of look at this as akin to that a little bit, is that the EPA is at least trying to say, hey, there's a crackdown on mercury from coal plants. It's dishonest in its delivery with an attempt to control the people. Let's back off a lot of those regulations and let's let the truth shine here. And I bring that up because there's also a guy that you know very well, Kurt. His name is Cliff Kincaid. Mm-hmm. Good friend of ours. Works for USA Survival right now. Anyway, he's going to be writing an article, I hope. I talked to him over the weekend about it, and he's drawing on some of my information to help make it happen. But he wants to highlight a comparison and contrast between Ezra Taft Benson and Mitt Romney. That's fascinating.
You're exactly right. That would be amazing, and, you know, it would be quite an eye-opener if people could read that, and I highly recommend it.
Amen. We'll publish it. We'll do all we can to help the tale be told, because it isn't about attacking Romney. It is about highlighting what's right and what's wrong and embracing that which is right. And so he's going to draw from the book, The Red Carpet, that Ezra Taft Benson wrote. He's going to draw from this book called An Enemy Hath Done This. He's going to draw from the proper role of government speeches. He's going to draw from the Constitution a heavenly banner. I'm just telling you, it's going to be tremendous. And anyway, he was interviewing me over the weekend to get sources for this article. It's just going to be tremendous. I'm really excited about it. And we also want to talk about Kansas City Royals. I guess they got this pitching prospect. Guy's name is Brady Singer, right, Kurt?
That's right. You know, this is another story where you think, how come you don't hear more stories about this, or at least you don't hear this one pushed?
The problem is, it's got Christmas in it. It's got good people doing good things. It doesn't have any racial destruction divide components to it. It's just good all the way around, and they can't stand it.
That's right. Here's a young man who, you know, when he got his signing bonus, he basically said, hey, look, you know, if it weren't for my mom and dad paying to go to all my events and traveling and doing all this stuff and helping me out, you know, them scrimping and helping me out and stuff, I could never have been here. And so he basically just paid off the mortgage and, you know, did all this stuff for him, which, you know, I mean, it's just good all around, you know.
And he did it as a Christmas present, too. So now you got promoting a parents and family and a mom and a dad that are a male and female, married and stable and together and loving their kids and giving a little bit of the love back and celebrating Merry Christmas and getting rid of debt. I mean, every aspect of this story just makes the liberals freak. And when you put it all together, it's just too much phenomenal for those people. I mean, they just can't take it. But, you know, I don't even know what color this guy is, Kurt, by the way, and I don't care.
He's a white kid. I saw the pictures. But
all right, good for Brady.
The whole thing is, yeah, he did good stuff, and we want to encourage more of it.
Yep, and Amy Joy writes, ranchers reveling in Trump's proposed rollback of water regulations. Amy, her last name is Joy, and she's telling about the joy Donald's producing amongst farmers. That's a pretty neat story, too, ladies and gentlemen. There's good news everywhere. You got to help us hunt for it. We got to tell the tale of liberty everywhere we go. That's just what we do on your radio. Thanks for spending time with us. We hope it was educational, a little bit entertaining, and valuable. Thank you so much for your time. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate if you can. The Widows Mite Radio Network could use every penny we can get to promote the sacred cause of liberty. For Sam and Kurt, we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. Will you please get involved and make it a great day? We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.